Are there any that failed to get a copy of the lesson who would like one?
This morning we conclude the Old Testament focus of our study, the names of God. We have for the last couple of weeks looked at the compound names of Jehovah. And they're on your front page of your lesson there. If you could do a quick review, we might get back to somewhat of a review. I have a feeling we won't spend too much time in the lesson portion this morning. And so we might have a little bit of time for an overall Old Testament review. I won't give you a quiz, so don't get nervous. Today, the seventh compound name of God with Jehovah is Jehovah Sabaoth. Spelled, we would say in Kentucky, Sabaoth. And if you want to call it that, yeah, I guess that's all right. Sabaoth, I believe, is the correct pronunciation. And it means the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Now, this could be a very broad study. The idea of the Jehovah Sabaoth being the Lord of hosts. It is from the Hebrew Saba, meaning host, army, company. That word Saba is used many times in the scriptures, and it does not always refer to God. It does often refer to an army. But Jehovah Sabaoth is used well over 200 times in the Old Testament. The most frequently used compound Jehovah name. And this man, in 1 Samuel 1:3, this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And this is, of course, this is a portion of scripture that we've read recently regarding Samuel and his parents. We decided just to look in the scripture at some instances of the Lord of hosts being used and try to glean in the limited space and time that we have, glean some of the wondrous and wonderful attributes and beauties of our God. And when we see Jehovah Sabaoth, it speaks of His power over His creation. He is the Lord of hosts, the multitudes, the heavenly host. In 1 Samuel 1:11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So this is continuing in 1 Samuel 1. The words of Hannah as she prayed for a son. She prayed unto the Lord of hosts, that God who has power over His creation, and thus power to make the barren fruitful. And how often do you see that in the scripture? He is Jehovah Sabaoth. He has power to subdue His enemies. And this name of God is very frequent in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Then said David to the Philistine, I love this story, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. I thought about this last Sunday morning when our brother Andres was speaking about the armor. And we talked a little bit after the service and how that we will put on our own type of man-made armor. And I thought about David standing there in the armor of Saul. Remember that? They clad him with the armor of Saul. He said, I can't use this. I can't. These are not proven to me. I can't use this armor. I am standing as a representative of the Lord of hosts. And he'll fight the battle. I have a sling and a stone. And that was mocked by both sides. What are you doing, David? You're going to get yourself killed. And the term that Goliath referred to David as referred to himself as in view of this boy. Did he not say, am I a dead dog? Are you going to send this boy out? But he didn't understand, did he? He didn't understand as the epitome of man's strength and power and lordship. Goliath didn't understand and did not know the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. David did. And he says, I'll read it again. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. In Isaiah 1:24, therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. I like the way that is translated. I will ease me of mine enemies. It gives me great comfort when I think of the bigness, the power of our God, even in the face of the modern day Goliaths. He is the Lord of hosts. And he is able to ease himself of his enemies. He has power as the Lord of hosts, as power over his creation to part the seas. In Isaiah 51:15, I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. So when we look at the name Jehovah Sabaoth, we see God's power over his creation. There is no part of this creation that he is not in complete sovereignty over. It speaks, secondly, of one whose purposes are sure. Isaiah, again, chapter 14. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Purposes of God. I was reading in Ezekiel this morning about over there where God is speaking of his plan. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. Does that remind you of a parable of Christ? The kingdom of heaven, remember, is like that mustard seed that grew up and then all the fowls came. I heard one preacher, very popular preacher, say that was a bad thing, that Jesus was saying that when the church is established, that all types of different fowl birds are going to come and pick at it. He needed to read Ezekiel 17. When God says it would be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. The Lord of hosts, which I didn't plan on on reading that scripture. I just remembered it as I read this morning. The Lord of hosts has power over his creation. He has power. It speaks of one whose purposes are sure. I have purposed it, so shall it stand. And then I have a few instances here in your lesson where God has purposed something and it came to pass. Imagine that. He chose David as king. That was his purpose. 2 Samuel 7. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. God purposed it. His preservation of a remnant for himself. What a wonderful study this is. But 2 Kings 19, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Isaiah reflects these words, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. The Lord of hosts, this attribute, this name of God, speaks of his one whose purposes are sure. In his establishing of Zion, Psalm 48, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever, Selah. In his taking himself a bride, we're looking at the Lord of hosts this morning. Isaiah 54, verse 5, for thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Thine husband's name is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Thirdly, it speaks of one who is worthy of worship. Go back to Samuel in the second book and let thy name, chapter 7, verse 26, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. It has been said, I'll just pause here for a moment. It has been said by some that our concept of God, I'm trying to think who I read this after just recently, our concept of God is the most important part of our life. He said that. You take that for what it's worth. It's Burkhoff or Pink, or somebody you would respect. Our concept of God is the most important aspect of our life, our lives. Maybe we ought to just ruminate on that for a while. So while I thought it was Jesus, yes, that's right. That's right. You see, God is the Lord of hosts. And it is a wonder, and I'm sure that you have experienced this as you've prayed. Perhaps you've been meditating on Scripture about the grandness, the gloriousness of God. And I use the term bigness. I hope you can receive that one. The bigness of God. And yet, then you read in the Psalms the most intimate and personal, the most seemingly insignificant things, God cares about that too. That's a mystery. Boy, doesn't it make you feel all gooey inside when you think about what God is and what he has done for you. We are talking about the Lord of hosts, in His power, and in His purposes. And in the before the foundations of the world, if you're born again by the grace of God, He knew you, chose you. He knew that this would be 2014. We'd be worshiping here today. He knew how He would manifest Himself here, to what extent His glory would be manifest to that one who has lost the work that we may not even see, that might go forth according to His sovereignty and His purposes in the soul of that one who is cold and indifferent. He knew all of that. He is the mighty God, and He is a personal God. His taking of a bride for Himself. It speaks of the one who is worthy of worship. As we read this a moment ago, on earth we are to worship Him. Let His name be magnified, but also in heaven. In Psalm 24:10, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. Jehovah Sabaoth. He is King of glory. Selah. It speaks fourthly of His ability to preserve and protect in Psalm 84. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. It speaks of the one who judges righteously. Isaiah chapter 5, in mine ears said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. And then in verse 16, the same chapter, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. Reading some of the words of George Whitefield this week, Brother Kyle was nice enough to pass a book on to me that was impactful as he read it, and it has been for me as well. And there were some quotes from Mr. Whitefield, and in his passion and his fiery message to lost people, he said, dear lost person, you're going to glorify God one way or another. Amen. You'll glorify Him here as you cry out to Him for mercy, or you'll glorify Him in judgment. That is the Lord of hosts. I should have said that He will glorify Himself in judgment. That makes a little more sense. He judges righteously, the Lord of hosts. It speaks of one who is to be feared, kind of hand in glove with the previous. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. As God removes the scales from our eyes, on occasion, perhaps He'll show us the hell that we were flirting with. The hell that only by His mercy was He holding us from. His glory and majesty that we so blasphemed in our defiance of Him. He'll reveal that to us, perhaps small portions at a time, lest our heads explode. It speaks of one who is proven faithful to bless. Malachi 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. The Lord of hosts. And those are just a few. Like I said, there's over 200 instances of this compound in the Old Testament. The eighth compound word is Jehovah Medo Mekodishkim. Mekodishkim. Jehovah Mekodishkim. The Lord who sanctifies. From the Hebrew word kadash, meaning to consecrate, sanctify, prepare, dedicate, be hallowed, be holy, be sanctified, be separate, to set apart. He is the Lord who sanctifies. Used only twice, I believe, here. But we see a confirmation for His people as Jehovah Mekodishkim. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12, "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them." In Exodus 31, verse 13, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." The Lord that sanctifies us. Sanctification. That part of our Christian life we dwell on, and we should. We often look at justification and sanctification together and see their likenesses and their differences, the different elements. And I would just caution you not to confine the idea of sanctification just to your personal holiness. Okay, that's a vital part of it. But don't forget that if you have been sanctified by Him, you have been set apart for His own, for Himself. Your holiness, in other words, is not dependent upon you. Maybe that would be a better way to say it. Your holiness is not dependent upon you. As you have received Christ, so walk ye in Him, right? How did you receive Him? You received Him at the end of yourself. I have no power to come. I have no power to save myself. I have no power to make myself holy. You came to Christ with no power in yourself to sanctify yourself. And that's the way you walk in Christ. You're not going to receive rewards in heaven because you were able. You were going to receive reward. And I love this when Brother Gary brought this out. Our crowns are Him. Our sanctification is Him. Not my best efforts. It's Him. He is the Lord who sanctifies. And so we see a call then to holiness. In Leviticus 28, "Ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." Call to holiness. Well, I thought you said we don't need to be holy. That's not what I said. And come up after service and I'm going to whop you in the head if you think that's what I just said. I didn't say that. I said our holiness is not of ourselves. It's Him. So we shouldn't be holy. No, we should be holy. There is a call. Be holy is the command. God gave us the command knowing full well we could not perform it in ourselves. But we can do all things, Brother John, through Christ, which strengthens us, as you reminded us yesterday. Call to holiness. I am the Lord that sanctifies you. He is Jehovah Mekodishkim. I believe that's the last time I'm going to try to pronounce that. I got it right 3 times in a row. I'm going to leave it. There it is for you. He is the Lord who sanctifies. If this is a comfort to His prophet, look at Jeremiah chapter 1 here in your lesson. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Wow. Well, I wish that we could say that. We can. We can. And we can rejoice in it. But he says, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart for myself. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He is the Lord who sanctifies. And what a testimony it is to the world. Ezekiel says, the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. When my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Plug in your best eschatological interpretation right there, and we could differ on it, but we would agree that God is praised, and the testimony is to him of his glory by his sanctification of his people. Testimony to this world. And then the last compound name this morning that we will look at is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. This is from the Hebrew tzedek, meaning justice, righteous, rightness, righteousness. He is our righteousness. He is the hope for fallen man. Isaiah 45, verse 24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. What an invitation. Again, reflecting back on Whitfield's sermons, one word that he used over and over, remember this, Brother Kyle, over and over again, come, come. I can't think of a more comforting, maybe even a haunting word to a sinner. Because men are angry in our day. They're angry at religion. They're angry at Christians. They hate hypocrisy, and frankly, I don't blame them. They'll look through. They're just like that Mexican mafia down there that they'll let you pass if you claim to know Christ, but let it be known they're watching you. Wow, that impacted me. You can live because you claim the name of Christ, but we're watching you. This world sees through all the fluff. They see through the hypocrisy. But the question is really to them, like it has been to us, what think ye of Christ? And I see Jesus standing there and saying, come. Come. Well, I hate religion. Jesus says, come unto me. All ye that weary, all ye that labor, are heavy laden, come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come. That is wonderful. That is the hope for fallen man. Well, I don't know what to say to my lost loved one. I don't know what to say. Well, they have good arguments. I don't know how to answer them. Well, I don't either, some of them. They're a little bit above my pay grade in the intellectual department or the philosophical department. I sometimes don't know what to say. But I'm reminded of that young lady, Brother Kyle was telling me about that young lady who was dealing with a defiant person. And she kept saying this, but you need a Savior, right? But you need a Savior. Yeah, but what about you need a Savior? Come unto me. Well, I don't understand. Come unto me. Did Peter understand it all when Jesus said, come unto me? Did the disciples understand it all? No, you get over there in Acts chapter 1. They didn't have all the answers. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? And he said, well, after all these days I've been talking to you about the kingdom, you don't understand yet? No, he said, it's not for you to know. You don't have to know all the answers to all the questions. Come unto me. What an invitation. He is the source. Jehovah Tsidkenu is the source of righteousness. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Praise the Lord for that. He is the refuge of righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord. All caps. Straight out of the King James Bible. The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. And I included a couple of stanzas, and if you haven't noticed the conspicuous absence of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I'm just trying to save it until we get, starting next week, get into the New Testament, because it's going to be wonderful in my view. And I hope a blessing to you. But here are the last couple of stanzas from McShane's Him, Jehovah Tsidkenu, my treasure and boast. Jehovah Tsidkenu, I ne'er can be lost. In thee I shall conquer by flood and by field, my cable, my anchor, my breastplate and shield. Even treading the valley, the shadow of death, this watchword shall rally my faltering breath. For while from life's fever my God sets me free, Jehovah Tsidkenu, my death song shall be. Isn't that wonderful? So there, the 7th, 8th, and 9th compound name, and those are the only ones we will deal with in the Old Testament, and well, generally speaking. We have begun, and this is the 11th lesson, the first being an introduction. This is really the 10th lesson that we have looked at particular names of God. If you remember, we began with El, the simplest of God's names. It means strong. It means out in front. It means almighty. In Psalm 50, verse 1, we read the mighty God, Elohim, the El Elohim. Even the Lord, that is Jehovah, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. We spoke of Elyon, meaning most high. We spoke of Elohim, found over 2,500 times in the Old Testament. And that by far makes it the most used Hebrew word for God. We spoke of Jehovah or Yahweh or that self-revealed proper name for God, whichever way you prefer to pronounce. Then we began into some compound names with El. Do you remember? And maybe some participation here would be in order. I won't wait very long, but if you know the answer to this, raise your hand or say it. It will be all right. And we'll see what we remember. El Shaddai. God Almighty. I just gave you this one, so say it. El Elyon. God Most High. Thank you. This was one that I shared with you, and several of you came up and said, I'd never heard it. El Olam. El Olam. Remember that? Everlasting God. El Roi. R-O-I. The God who sees. El Gabor, the mighty God. El Deah, the God of knowledge. El Hadad, Hadadol, the great God. El Hakavad, the glory of God. El Hakadosh, the holy God. Does anybody remember El Selah, C-E-L-A, God, my strength, my rock? Do you remember El Kana, Q-A-N-N-A? Does anybody remember what that is? The jealous God. Now this one, you need to get this one. You'll disappoint me if you don't get this one. This will go on your permanent record if you don't get this one. El Yeshuati. Yeshua. Joshua. Jesus. My Savior, salvation. Yes, good. Yeshuati. You ought to get this one because we just talked about a similar word that we wound up our lesson this morning with this. El Sadik. Jehovah Sidkenu. The righteous God. The righteous God. El Kai. The living God. And here I regretted the when we mentioned El Kai, I don't know if you caught this, but I said it meant two things, and I gave you one, and I never came back to the second. Did anybody get that? El Kai means the living God, and this was really important, and I left it out, but it also means the God of my life. El Kai, the living God. El Kai, the God of my life. What an application. And then we got into the compounds with Jehovah. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord tends his flock like a shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, or the Lord who sees. Remember that lesson? The Lord who sees to it. In fact, Jehovah Ra and Jehovah Jireh, very similar. Because the Lord who sees is also the shepherd who sees to, tends, takes care of his flock. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. You'll get this one. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Good. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. And I'll go ahead and just remind you of those this morning and we'll be done. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Mekodishkin, the Lord who sanctifies. And then Jehovah Sikinu, the Lord, our righteousness. So, what does all this mean? Well, I hope by now we see that these names are given for our benefit. To see how good and how broad, if you will, the greatness of God is. The attributes of God, how wonderful they are. We will be looking into such things for all eternity. And I agree with my commentator who recently said that it will take eternity for us to explore them all. Next week, I would like to start with a visual aid. Don't get excited. It's not a My tech guys back there are scrambling. No, it's not anything tech, okay? It's very primitive. But I think it's very illustrative of the way, if we're not careful, that we will conceive of the Bible, that is the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right? If you want to be thinking about that. Because what we're fixing to do, as we'd say in Kentucky, what we're fixing to do is we're fixing to bridge the gap. We're fixing to bridge the gap between Malachi and Matthew. And we're going to see, Lord willing, and I hope I'm able to, through God's grace, to make these things plain, that this whole book is about the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole book, Old Testament and New Testament, it's about Him. And He answers every single one of these names. He is God, manifest in the flesh. I'm excited. So we will start with a visual aid. And I might show it to you weekly so that we can keep it close in our minds. As we see some verses that are quite plain. His name shall be called, right? Isaiah writes very plainly. Others that might not be so plain, but we still see Christ in them. It should be a very profitable study. We trust that you just please pray that it would be to that end. Thank you for your attention this morning. Father, we love you today, and we praise your name, and we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as we see him in each and every one of these attributes and names. May you make them plain to us. May you do a work in our hearts, Father, and make us more like him. I pray as we prepare to worship that our hearts would be set. Father, set on him. Our voices uplifted that you would receive our worship. I'm praying this morning for those among us who are lost. Dear Father, do a work in their souls. May they come. May they come and throw themselves at your mercy. Because you are a God who is abundant in mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.